The Lou Trek Show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Did you know the Tech Podcast Network was home of the best tech podcasts like Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show at MikeTechShow.com and Byron Brown, the Byron Brown Tech and Stuff, The Blur, Binary, and now The Road of I and We with co-host Benjamin Straw. Please check them out at BBTAS.com and tell them the Lou Trek Show sent you. Why? Because he loves you.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
Kapla from Kronos. This is the Harmaster, Brian Dedemore.
I'm your resident Ferengi coming to you live from the FCA. Liquidator Lou Costanzo.
Welcome to the Lou Trek Show.
You're listening to show number 80 for Thursday, December 16th, 2010. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lou Trek Show. I am your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main website is www.loutrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments. Our email address is loutrekshow, and that is all one word, at gmail.com. Keep your email somewhat brief and to the point, and we will work them in as part of a future show. You can follow us on Twitter or just about any other social network just by going to loutrekshow.com/social. And there you'll find how to follow us. Be able to send us voicemail if you wish, as well as email. And Brian, how are you doing today? Let's bring my co-host on.
Kapla, I'm doing good, Lou. I'm doing really good. Had a nice nap, a nice meal, and now I'm ready to rock and roll, baby.
All right. Well, this first song is coming to you from the. I had a pretty good week, too, and I told you about my little surprise. I won't give details, okay, because this may or may...
We don't want people doing... We don't want crazy people doing silly stuff.
No. This isn't real... This may or may not, be indicative of what's typical. As you all know, especially by that intro you just heard, we are a member of the Tech Podcast Network, and generally, it's... for tech podcasters, both audio and video podcasts, where they talk about tech. We're not tech. And we are, to my knowledge, the only podcast that's non-tech related. But, if you think about it, and this was my plea to them, what is Star Trek if it's not tech? It may be future tech, but it's tech. And a lot of what's happened in Star Trek in the past is coming true today in the form of tech. And that makes perfect sense to them. So we are especially the only Star Trek podcast for sure, but generally the only podcast that isn't really heavily tech. We don't talk about Windows. We don't talk about Mac. We don't talk about Linux. We only talk about Trek. Although a future topic that I'm getting Byer Brown in on is what kind of operating system would the United Federation of Planets use in their starships. What operating system would run the holodeck, the engineering, the propulsion? But we'll get to that later. Anyway, a few months ago I participated in a roundtable discussion on Tech Podcast that had nothing to do with Trek. It was all about Google Instant and I've talked about it on this show. What I don't like about Google Instant in relating to an innocent search query can show your children things that you would never want them to be exposed to. So, I did my discussion on this. Well, I was told by Todd Cochran that whatever revenue they generate from the advertising, he would share with us for doing the roundtable. There was three. Me, another guy, and Todd did our own bits in that roundtable. And I'll have a link to that roundtable if I can find it. It'll be in the main page. Anyway, I got an email from Raw Voice, which is the parent company of Tech Podcast, that sent me some money on PayPal. And I'm only going to say that it was a lot of money. For me, my first paycheck from them ever, it was quite a bit of money. I expected a couple bucks.
They paid him a lot
of money.
Money.
It wasn't.
And I when he told me off the air, I'm like, what?
Dang. I expected
And what's so funny is because he thought it was spam.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's deleted it. I deleted it from Gmail. I said, oh, guy, I ain't falling for this. And then I deleted it, and then I thought, wait a second, Raw Voice, that's the parent of Tech Podcast. What are the odds that a spammer is going to pick Raw Voice as a fishing expedition that they sent me money? Well, I looked at it again, and it had a link there. Click this link to log into PayPal. It looked like a legitimate link to PayPal. So I fired up the old virtual machine, virtual box, and I went to there, opened up a browser, went to the link. It sure enough went to PayPal. Could it have spoofed my DNS provider, which actually is OpenDNS? I seriously doubt it, but anything's possible. So I instead decided to go out of the virtual machine, back into the real-time environment, went to PayPal.com direct, entered my information, added my LootTrekShow@gmail.com email address, and in a few minutes, poof, the money was in my account. For real. Couldn't believe it. And it was real, so I wrote Todd Cochran and said, are you sure I was supposed to get this much? Didn't you mean maybe like this much or this much? And he wrote back and said, no, this is for real. You get a third of whatever came in, and we had so many, this many amount of listeners, and they pay us this much per this amount, and your half is this, your portion was this much. So, yay, hooray, Christmas is looking a lot better in the Costanzo house.
It's looking a little like Christmas.
Yeah. I don't have to give my daughter candy bars this year. Either that or I can give her the...
You can give your daughters candy bars.
Yeah, really.
God, Lou.
And I have to wonder why she's hyper. Anyway, so it's...
You don't give a hyper kid something that's going to make her hyper.
No kidding. Yeah.
I think you will learn that lesson after it. At least in the last almost 2 years that I've worked with you.
Yeah, well, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that, but...
Yeah, you would.
No, we got her a DSi, Nintendo DSi, for her birthday to replace the one Santa Claus got for her last year because she spilled soda in it. So, well, I don't know. Maybe we'll get her some more games and get her something. She's going to enjoy it this year, I think. It's all about her. My wife and I, we don't really give each other gifts for Christmas. We worry about her, and now, of course, now that we have another daughter that joined our house in February in the form of a miniature pincher.
I was about to say, what'd you do, adopt a kid and didn't tell me about it?
Nah, we got ourselves a min pin. She needed a home, and we gave her a home, and she is the most beautiful little dog I've ever seen in my life. I almost want to kick my wife out and marry this dog. She is so beautiful and sweet and cuddles up and kiss it. Oh, she won't kiss. She won't kiss. Once in a while, I can kind of get her to if she's in a good mood, but any other time, no kiss. So, but anyway, it took her about a week to get used to me, and now it's been puppy love ever since, so.
And they called it puppy love. Oh, I guess they'll never know how a young heart really feels and why I love her so.
And of course, the only thing that really bothers me is, you know, when I woke up the other day and I felt wetness under my feet and realized there's a puddle there where she peed because she couldn't wait till the morning. That I hate. But what are you going to do? I don't care. I'll clean it up and love her all the same. So anyway.
Oh, man. You really have fallen for this dog.
Very much. She sleeps between us. Right between us. She shares either she's under her blanket. And she goes all the way under the blanket. I don't know how she does it. When I put my head under the blanket, I feel like I'm going to suffocate. But she goes all the way under the blanket. She loves it under there. And then what I don't like, and I learned the hard way, is she wakes up in the middle of the night multiple times throughout the night and does a full body shake and then lays back down and goes back to sleep. And we used to keep her collar on with her chain, you know, her dog tags. And, of course, a couple times throughout the night, I hear, like, stop it. And, of course, the problem is now she can't get back under the blanket. So she gets on top of the blanket and waits for us to wake up to put her back under the blanket. Or when she's, you know, she's trying to pull up the blanket with her nose, and she gets it so far, all of a sudden you get, you know, the wet, moist dog nose on your leg. And it tells you, I need to get back under the blanket. You lift it up, she walks under it, lays down, and goes back to sleep. Yeah, you could say she... And you know one thing I learned, well, I read before we got her, on how to care for a miniature pincher, is don't make her the princess of the house. She will take control of the house. And sure enough, that's exactly what she's done.
Yep.
Anyway, let's go back to Trek.
Although this is good as Trek.
We have some, well, I guess we could call it some bad news and some good news.
Well, let's start off with the easy one. Okay. Just to let everybody know, this was officially announced at Starbase Indy, and I'm going to announce it again. Mm-hmm. A one-time episode that's probably never going to happen again. Starbase Indy is on December 9th. Through the 11th mm-hmm. of next year, not over Thanksgiving weekend like it normally is. Mm-hmm. It's over December 9 through 11th. Mm-hmm. So please, listeners who are diehard fans of the and come to Starbase Indy, please take note of this and plan accordingly for next year, because I sure hate to have you guys walk in on whatever is planned for Thanksgiving weekend, because mm-hmm. they screwed up.
Yeah.
Some kind of bowling event, I guess. Some major bowling tournament's coming through, and they booked up the hotel for it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but I kind of am happy, because I could certainly get that weekend off. And, you know, but like you said, folks, do this, because there's a lot of people I have also heard that bitch about the fact that it's the Friday after Thanksgiving. People are out of town. People are, you know, traveling. How are they supposed to go to a convention? And if they had it just 1 week before or 1 week after, well, we would love to come. Well, now here's your chance. Prove it to them. Because if I bet you anything, if Kim sees it, that participation in this has doubled or went up considerably, she'd be a fool not to say, why don't we do this every year?
Yeah, I agree. And this is why I'm saying something now. And we're going to be doing this through the rest of the year, folks. I'm gonna remind everybody of this fact, because, quite frankly, I wish Kim would take it out Thanksgiving weekend. Mm-hmm. Because speaking of it, okay, the USS Gorkon crew, who, by the way, worked the security, mm-hmm. was the bulk force of security this year at Starbase Indy. We had a canned food drive fundraiser. Mm-hmm. Okay, we had to build a board cube, get it over to the hotel, get 622 cans of a 904 can food drive over to the hotel. We had to get the Lou Track Show stuff over to the hotel. Mm-hmm. And this was all done on Thanksgiving night. We did all this because we had to get it all over there. I mean, we're talking, for people who haven't seen the Lou Track Show, when we do live, mm-hmm. I have this three, what they call, wall divisions that I bring in. And I hang up our banner, and I hang up some Star Trek memorabilia and stuff on it. And it's nice, but it's a pain because you got to take time to set it up. Uh-huh. And you got to bring it. Well, you gotta take the time to get it there and bring it back home and take it apart. And then you're talking about a 50-pound board cube that's 4 foot high, 4 foot wide, and 4 foot tall. High, wide, and tall.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you all lifted 622 cans of food. It ain't easy. It ain't easy at all. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work right before Black Friday to get all this stuff done. Then you got to come in on Friday, which is a madhouse on the roads, just to come to the convention. I mean, it's really a hardship for just the Star Trek people. Okay, just people working the convention and stuff, much less the guests coming in.
Yeah.
So to move it to the 9th to the 11th, I think would be a better change for that. And I hope that everybody who listens to this and can come to Starbase Indy this year, come. Mm-hmm. It's 35. It's if you get the tickets now, you're probably getting them for 25, 30 bucks.
Yeah.
They were 40 at the door. At the convention.
Yeah.
So you're saving $10 right off the immediate bat, okay? Come, because it's even the stars, Tim Russ, Crystal Allen, Manu, and David Wolf, all said that they enjoyed coming to this convention because it is such a nice setup convention and it's small. They get to walk around and interact with people and everything. Well, last week Tim was telling everybody how he was sitting there doing magic with Manu and how Manu was spending all his time in the 80s arcade playing Space Quest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, and the year before that when me and Lou was there, Garrett Wong was sitting out there with all the smokers out there in the patio smoking and chatting away with everybody.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that was
funny. I mean, it's just, it is one of them conventions that you can get up close and personal with the stars a little bit more. You can actually spend a little time with them. It's sure. Not like rush into a line and get your picture and you never see them again for the whole weekend.
Yeah. As okay, a matter of fact,
actually, they are around the convention the whole weekend. I mean, Friday, Tim Russ is walking up and down the Arboretum all day long without his escort. He was busy trying to find his escort because she hadn't came in yet. So Tim was basically doing whatever Tim wanted to do on Friday. And, I mean, he walked by, and nobody would know who he was unless like me working security, you have to know who he is. Wow. But. Most people just like, that's not Tim Russ, is it? Nah, that can't be Tim Russ. I mean, people were just like, that's not Tim Russ.
Yeah, you know.
Because they asked me, who is that? That's Tim Russ. That can't be Tim Russ.
Yeah, but the point is,
because
people don't drive me crazy.
The point is, most conventions, you won't see the stars like that walking around at the convention.
No, not at all.
Without escort.
You're right, not at all.
And this is why I always try to tell people, come to the convention. It's one of them conventions that's not run by a corporation. It's ran by Star Trek fans like me and Lou and you folks, okay? Uh-huh. And it's very nice. The other thing I had to say on it was some company took the 1960s Star Trek and the 1960s Batman and merged it into one show.
Wow.
They called it Star Trek versus Batman. Mm-hmm. This was one of the most unreal, funniest videos that I had seen at Starbase Indy. And it's coming back next year, thank God. Mm-hmm. They took all the characters, got them in authentic costumes, authentic bridges, authentic bat caves, the whole nine yards. They did everything by the book.
Okay.
Of the original series. They even had the cheesy traps for Batman and Robin. They had the cheesy, what we call cheesy, Scotty coming to save the day. they had this. I feel sorry for James's character being what is it when you copy someone else's character.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of it now.
Duplicate, replicate.
When they do the like the Simpsons when they did Star Trek.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't think of what how you call it, but this guy, they found this biggest guy they could find to play Scotty. Mm. It was funny. Mm. Captain, I can't do this.
Okay. Well, yeah, and we were going to play some bits of interviews, and I actually do want to play the Tim Russ interview. What I'm going to do, I'm going to warn you, though, and this is because Brian had a bad internet connection. It just wasn't working. So what he had to do was hand the microphone or the headset over to the person and then ask the question. So his sounded like, okay, yeah, so what do you think?
Yeah, oh, was it that bad?
It was that bad.
I thought I was speaking loud enough.
No, well, you were speaking loud enough where I was able to amplify it. You'll hear that. And then a couple of times I even heard Tim Russ burp because, you know, I had to really amplify it. He thought he was just letting out a little bit of but that was not the way it came out. But I got rid of that.
Well, I'm going to fix that by next year's Starbase Indy, yeah. So I can have two mics.
Yeah, here you
running.
Go. So here, let's go ahead and
off my computer in case I have to do this again like that.
I'm hoping you don't have to do it like this because I really desperately want to be there next year. So let's go ahead and take a listen to that interview.
Okay, this is Tim Russ. Hi, Tim, and welcome to Starbase Indy. How's everything? How did you enjoy your experience here today?
It's been very nice. I was able to bring a little sunshine here for you guys, although it's quite cold. I'm not used to the weather. The people are wonderful. The show is, very small and intimate, which is kind of nice. There's no running around and no rushing, so it's very cool. And, of course, well-organized, as many of them are.
Yeah. Thank you for the company. You were telling me when I talked with you earlier, you had a new project going on, and you were wanting us to talk about it and present it on the show website. Could you tell me a little bit about what your new project is?
Well, right now, I've just finished a movie called Night of the Silent Movie Theater, which stars Phil Lamar from Mad TV and Tony Todd from The Candyman features. And it's a sort of a feel-good character piece, and it's going to be... we're looking for distribution right now for it. Working as doing some voiceover work for a Cartoon Network show called Symbiotic Titans, playing the character of Solomon, and also playing music, continually to play music. Going to go back in the studio pretty soon and record a few extra songs and new songs. And on top of that, continuing on with the children's project that I had finished before called Bugsters, which is a book combination book and audio book that's out. So I've gotten, it's getting pretty busy these days, looking to possibly be directing another feature here in the next year. If these guys can get some financing for it, we'll be doing that as well.
Oh, that's wow.
Yeah.
If you get any music, you like us, because we do occasionally, we do new artists stuff. We'd be happy if you would send us something to play. We'd be happy to play it for you.
Well, yeah, I can... Thank you. I can actually give you one of my CDs while I'm here, which has the material that I've had out in the past year and a half or so, and I can give you that as a starter, and then we can, if I get some new material recorded, I'll send that to you as well.
It's so wonderful to have you. Last time we had you, we were on the phone, we had the hardest time keeping you on connection, so this is nice to have you. Actually, we can sit down and... First of all, we're not breaking out every 15 minutes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I know you have a pretty good crowd at your table. And again, thank you for telling us how long you like to post them. Hope we have you back soon.
Yeah.
Has Paramount talked to you about doing anything else in the future?
No.
Major sick. I've noticed you do a lot of your stuff, and it used to do some very good work, by the way.
Thank you very much. The studio has not contacted me, you know, individually or personally. There are a lot of people who are pitching their own projects for a new series, at least three that I know of personally, and all I can do is wish them luck, because all of that's certainly not in my hands by any stretch, and even though my character may or may not be featured in those stories, it's a very difficult thing to try to get a major network or two on board to do a project like that. It's a very expensive ordeal, and typically they tend to take projects that are done, pitched and done from inside the production companies and stuff. So, nobody's contacted me about anything particularly. Just the people who are actually pitching their projects. Some of them have been interested in having my character on board to do them, you know. So I wish them luck on getting that getting those things off the ground.
Well, I look forward to seeing some of your projects coming out in the future, and I look forward to meeting you again at another convention, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time.
It's my pleasure.
And one last thing. Could you please do the honorable thing what we do with all of our guests, which is... Hello, I'm Tim Russ, and you're listening to the Lou Trek Show.
Hello, I'm Tim Russ, and you're listening to the Lou Trek Show. Hi, I'll do it in a minute. Hi, I'm Tim Russ, and you're listening to the Lou Trek Show.
And I actually like both takes, so I may keep both takes, but the honorable thing to do, I think what you meant was, would you honor us and make thing to do? What a Klingon.
Saturday was a wild mess.
Yeah.
And on top of that, all that background noise you hear at my end was Dr. David Wolf's autograph signing, because he had just come out, and his photos were all free, by the way. He didn't charge nobody for his pictures. I mean, when he screwed it up, he would rip it, throw it behind him, and slide up a new one. I mean, he had a stack about the size of a small mountain of photographs that he was signing for people.
How did he make money to even bother his time doing it?
He volunteers it, actually.
Wow.
Okay. It's part of NASA's program to get astronauts out in the community and tell them about the experience.
Well,
so
that's different. They're he
lives in Indiana.
Oh, okay.
So it was easy for him to come down to the convention. We tried to get him last year.
Yes, I remember.
At the convention. But he was, he had just gotten off a shuttle mission. And they hadn't finished his debriefing or nothing yet when he had to cancel it.
Sure. All right. Now, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and drift on. And of course, as I alluded to earlier, we have some good news and we have some bad news. The bad news is, you know, we've done this for a year and a half, and we've decided that we no longer want to do the Lou Trek Show. Well, that's a joke. I'm sorry. It's not April Fool's. I shouldn't even go there. That's not true. But what I am going to do is I would like to take a couple weeks off of this and concentrate on the family for Christmas and New Year's. And every podcaster does this. I mean, you'd be surprised how many times I hear the best of Dave Ramsey. That just means that he's taking the week off, and they're running reruns. And Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show does that. Byer Brown of BBTAS is currently in hibernation. Everybody needs to recharge and redo, and I'm going to do it too. But the good news is that next week you are going to hear a show done entirely by the Reverend Brother Timothy Walker, who is a diehard Star Trek fan in his own right. And so he's going to come on and record something, and I'm going to post it. That way I can be with my family for Christmas, and my mother's in another city, you know, close to death, almost basically on life support in a sense. So it's kind of like I want my head to be in the right place this Christmas, because this is her last Christmas. We know this. And it's not fair to her that I'm concentrating on the Lou Trek Show instead of Mom. So, the week after, Brian probably will record his own solo show.
If Byer Brown doesn't come on beforehand.
And even if he does, yeah. Byer, I haven't heard from. But like I said, he needs to recharge himself. And you know, let's face it, I do one podcast a week, The Lou Trek Show. He does Beyer Brown Tekken stuff. He does The Blur. He does Binary, or he started to. Now he let that one lapse, but he's got to get back in there. And now he's doing one with co-host Benjamin Straw called The Road of I and We. So he's doing a lot of stuff, plus he works full-time, and he's got a family himself. So he needs some time off. So, Beyer, you take what time you need. We all love you. We'll be here for you, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, amen.
So, now, of course...
If I am soloing
yeah.
In 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing the music of Trek. I'm actually going to pull out different songs and stuff, and I'm going to talk a little bit about them. So my next show solo will be about... I'm going to have some of Tim Russ's music. I'm going to have some of Five Year Missions. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have some of the show's music as well on. So that'll be a completely different... Now, recording it's going to be interesting, but I'll work on it.
We'll do it.
Come in and help me with that. Yeah. But
I could do it from here and show you, and just set your... It's all about the way you set things up, Audacity, and it's not a problem. So, anyway, but like I said, the bad news is I won't be on the next 2 weeks. The good news is that somebody will. Well, hey, maybe those are both good news. I don't know.
I would consider that both good news. I mean, everyone deserves some time off.
He didn't get it, folks. Anyway. Okay, let's go on to the first show segment, now that we're 32 minutes into this show. Let's see what we got.
And now, the Lou Trek Show is proud to present news from the future. Just because we ain't there yet doesn't mean it didn't happen. This is a breaking news alert. Here with your report is your news specialist, Lou Costanzo.
Thanks, Lou. In continuing news, the starship USS Voyager is in its third week of a hostage standoff with the ship on self-destruct with now 4 weeks to go. Naomi Wildman, captain's assistant, is now threatening to kill her hostages unless her demands are met. Starfleet is apparently feeling pressured to decide whether to take action or give in to the demands that Wildman is making, which are to give holodeck characters Treavis and Flotter commissioned rank on the ship. Seriously, people, why are we feeling so crazed here? 4 weeks to go? Relax! Wait her out.
Why are they even having a hostage situation? Walk in, grab the girl, and spank her on the butt for causing such a commotion. What's she going to do, blow the ship up? Come on, get real here.
Unfortunately, as we both know, on Voyager, anyone and everyone can override security lockouts, can beam off the ship anytime, steal shuttles, anything they want to do. So she's apparently done something that security cannot figure out, and that's why it's been going on this long. Anyway, in other news, a Christmas incident has a Federation on alert. Kronos has reported that Santa Claus has been arrested and put on trial for crimes committed on the Klingon homeworld, as well as encroaching Klingon space. Chancellor Martok claims that Santa Claus approached Kronos at warp 9.3 and refused to answer hails with anything more than ho ho ho. Four Klingon warbirds were destroyed when they mistook a reindeer's nose for a weapons array that was firing on them. All of the Klingon shots were deflected and rebounded back on the ship firing, thereby destroying it. It took four destroyed warbirds before the Klingons realized that maybe an all-out assault was just not going to work. Claus was arrested after he went down the chimney of a Klingon home. The reindeer were also arrested in our pending trial. The Federation has responded by sending 45 Galaxy-class starships to Kronos in an attempt to rescue Santa Claus.
But they would put the reindeer on trial. What they would do is encase them so they couldn't escape, and they would hunt them down and see which Klingon would actually get the kill.
Yeah, I don't know. If the Tribbles are any indication, those reindeer are screwed.
All those reindeers don't even know what hit them yet.
Yeah, yep. All right.
Put Santa Claus on trial. That would be the... Yeah, that would be exactly what the Klingon Empire would do.
Yeah, the problem is he's already been convicted, you know, before the trial began, so what good is it? Anyway, the multi-planet...
trial, what do you expect?
Mm-hmm. The multi-planet New Year's party is in the planning. Races include Starfleet, Bullion, Bajoran, Ferengi, and a whole bunch of others will be participating in the Ringing in the New Year with fireworks demonstration, with fireworks being launched from each of their planets. Vulcan has been quoted as saying this is a highly illogical thing, as there are certain to be ships in the area of the detonations, resulting in damage and or loss of life. Arguing started when the Bajorans objected to the time of the demonstration, as their clock has 2 more hours than the rest of the galaxy. We'll report the outcome after the first of the year.
Oh, that's really bad.
Well, the problem is the Bajorans have a 26-hour day. If they didn't have a 26-hour day, this wouldn't be an issue. But they have 2 more hours than everyone else, and that's why they're being sticklers. And that's not right.
Oh, I think they're just being a pain in the butt.
Right. So anyway, let's finish it off. And finally, a case of good and bad news. The bad news is Loot Trek Show is taking a 2-week vacation. The good news is that one of the weeks for sure will be done by our guest resident spiritual leader and magician, Reverend Brother Timothy Walker. The second week of the show is up in the air now, but as we've found out earlier, Brian probably will be doing a solo show. And like I said, maybe it's a case of good news, only you can decide. And that was
News from the Future!
Check back often for more news from the future. And now it's time for
Trek Birthdays.
The Loot Trek Show is proud to wish a very happy birthday to those who have made Trek the wonderful, happy place it is. Happy birthday wishes go out to... Birthday wishes are going out to everybody born on December 16th through December 22nd, because, quite frankly, I don't know who any of these people are, so I'm hoping...
I got the first one.
Well, I'm going to let you do it then, because...
I have two people I want to talk about today that I was searching through while we've been doing our show here. The first one is Mr. Ben Cross. I'll tell you who he played here in a minute, but his first debut in the movie was in a very famous war movie called A Bridge Too Far in 1977. And he also played the new Sarek in J.J. Abrams' Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, Sarek of Vulcan.
Mr. Ben Cross, he was born December 16th, 1947. He's 62 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Soon to be 63.
Mm-hmm.
Your turn.
I guess I could just pick one at random. How about David Waters? So let's see what David Waters did. David Waters was a second assistant director of 2009's Star Trek, directed by J.J. Abrams. Waters previously worked with Abrams and many other of the Star Trek crew as second assistant director and second assistant director of additional photography. Did that make any sense? I read it word
for
word.
He was a he basically was someone who took the photos of the shows.
Yeah, he was one of the little people. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean we do once in a while, folks. We do remember the little people. If we didn't, then we wouldn't have Star Trek, folks. Let's get real here for a minute.
Mm-hmm. A lot of little people.
Yes. Now, one that you skipped up, because we didn't go down to the 16th last week.
No, we're starting at the 16th this week.
But we didn't stop off at the 15th.
Yeah, we did, because the last one I did was Garrett Wong on the 15th. I got it wrong.
Okay, see, and that's where it threw me off, because one of my guys was last week's.
Oh, well, tell him anyway. Maybe you forgot him.
Well, we did forget about him. And this is another little person, okay? This is a writer, David Frederick Bischoff, born 15th December 1951. He's 58 years old. He's a writer from Washington, D.C. He wrote two episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, Tin Man and First Contact. But he also wrote in two Star Trek novels, Pocket TNG 25 Grounded.
Uh-huh.
And he also wrote non-Star Trek sci-fi, including Aliens vs. Predators, Farscape, and Sequest.
Hmm, okay. Well, here's one that I could do, since... Okay, yeah. Her name is Eva Losseth, who actually is 41 years old. I'm surprised. She didn't look it, but she played the role of Riska in Deep Space Nine episode Life Support, and most of her other credits are from a variety of TV shows, such as Saved by the Bell, Silk Stockings, Doogie Howser, M.D., wow, Quantum Leap, and Diagnosis Murder. And, of course, we know Quantum Leap was the same guy who played Captain Jonathan Archer in Star Trek Enterprise. I'm trying to think of what his name, Sam Tyler in Quantum Leap. And I don't believe Sam Tyler ever got home. No, Sam Tyler was Life on Mars. What am I thinking? Detective Sam Tyler. Who did he play on Quantum Leap? I'm going to have to look that up. But anyway, I sent you a link to a Klingon if you want to grab it.
I will here in a minute, but I thought I'd throw this one in.
Mm-hmm.
After, then I'll throw in, because we have to have our Klingons, guys. Let's face it. This gentleman was born in 1907. He passed away in 1998. But I'm going to tell you some of the work that he's done before he got into Star Trek. Andy Griffin Show, The Untouchables, Ben Casey, Mission Impossible, Hogan's Heroes, The Lucy Show. Yeah. This is some of the stuff that he used to do. He worked as the art director in Star Trek, the original series, beginning with the second pilot, where no man's gone before. He shared duties with Walter Jeffries during the first and early second season.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just a second here. I'm going to do something real quick.
Yes. Blake Lynn's... God, I'm having a good day, folks. We'll just call him Lieutenant Cyan. He played on DS9 on two episodes. Once more upon the bleep. Once more upon the... the breach.
Oh, you and poor devil.
Great Kapla in the video game Star Trek Klingon Academy. Blake Lindsay?
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay? Happy birthday to you. You're 36 years old, born December 1993. Our Klingon for this week.
Ooh, okay. Well, I'm gonna pick someone who is decidedly much better looking than Blake was. We're talking about Nicole DeBoer, who played Ezra Dax on Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and of course she was only on for the one season, and of course she hooked up with Julian Bashir, who tried to hook up with everybody else. Nobody would take him, so Ezra was his last hope, and it seemed to work. So, but Nicole DeBoer, she came on after Jadzia Dax was killed, and some of the other thing, I mean, she's only 39, so, let's see, hold on, I'm trying to find other things she's done, shit. And of course, after Deep Space Nine, she went on to do other things, like a Showtime movie rated X, biography of pornography pioneers Jim and Artie Mitchell, and I'm starting to wonder maybe if she. I'm gonna have to
Lou,
look that up. It was in Showtime.
Just, yeah, Lou, this is a PG-13.
She didn't do anything. It was just about a movie called Rated X. It wasn't an X-rated movie, so you don't have to worry about that. And she was also on the USA Network series The Dead Zone, created by Michael Piller, who also created Deep Space Nine and Voyager, and Sean Piller. David Ogden Stiers, a fellow Trek alum, who DeBoer previously worked with on the TV movie The Kissing Place, made frequent appearances on this series as Reverend Purdy, and of course, again, that was the Dead Zone. So, anyway, that is Nicole. Happy birthday, Nicole. And I hate to say this, but she had this baby-faced look on her when she was playing Ezra Dax. She was mighty fine. Mighty. I loved her eyes. I don't know about, you know, she was short and scrawny, little, you know, compact body, but I loved her eyes. They were just big old eyes. It just stood out big time.
Anyway, oh, you just love a good woman.
I do. And of course I do. I'm married to one. So, do you have anyone else, or can I...
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Bill Winstrom. Now, if y'all don't know who this man is, let me give you some of his credits. Besides Star Trek The Next Generation and Star Trek DS9, he also did work on... He did all 7 seasons of Star Trek Voyager, and he did 4 seasons of Star Trek Enterprise. He also helped out on Star Trek Wrath of Khan, mm-hmm. Star Trek Search for Spock, and also worked on Star Trek First Contact.
Mm.
And he also did work on video games Star Trek Borg and Star Trek Klingon. Who am I talking about? Well, Mr. William Winstrom was the sound man for all those things that I just mentioned.
Mm. Pretty good. All right.
Supervising sound editor, to be more precise. He started off first season of Star Trek Next Generation, and then when DS9 was getting proposed and done, he skipped over and did 3 seasons with DS9, and then he did all of Voyager, and he was 4 years with Star Trek Enterprise.
Oh, okay.
So he was the man that made sure all those nice bleeps and sounds came along quite well through the show and everything.
Did a good job.
This was the man that did the job. He passed mm-hmm. away March 10th, 2010 at the mm-hmm. age of 74. He was born December 20th,
1935. Wow, that's sad. Okay, well, the next one hails from Charleston, South Carolina, born on December 21st, 1965 at the age of 44. And so I'm going to let you listen a little bit of his contribution to Star Trek before I tell you who he is. And he'll be playing alongside with Robert Picardo, who was the Voyager EMH. So here we go.
I've accessed the navigational logs. We're at warp 9.9, heading straight for Romulan space.
This vessel was designed to go faster than anything in the fleet, so we'll never be rescued.
We've got to find a way to turn this ship around.
How? Waltz onto the bridge and take over the helm?
Refresh my memory. Which of us has the terrible bedside manner?
You're not my patient.
My first bit of good news. We have to incapacitate the Romulans somehow. What kind of anesthetics do you have handy?
Only the best. Axanol, neurazine, anesthazine.
Neurazine will do nicely. It can be distributed in gaseous form. Show me a schematic of the ship's ventilation system. Please.
All primary systems have been rerouted to the bridge, including environmental control.
It looks like there are hollow emitters on every deck.
There are. Unlike you, I'm not condemned to a sick bay.
Get 3 canisters of neurazine. As a matter of record, I have free rein on Voyager, and I can even leave the ship as well.
Leave your ship? How?
My mobile emitter? A little piece of 29th century technology we obtained?
Really?
I'm as close to a sentient life form as any hologram could hope to be. I socialize with the crew, fraternize with aliens. I've even had sexual relations.
Sex? How's that possible? We're not equipped.
Let's just say I made an addition to my program.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. Too much information.
Too much information. We're talking about Andy Dick, and he is an amazing performer. He's funnier than I'll get out. I saw the roast of William Shatner, and he was on there, and my God, it's raunchy. I've never seen a roast that bad, but it is incredible what they do to poor old George Takei. What they do to him. Anyway, Andy Dick is also known from the Andy Dick Show, which only lasted 2 seasons but became a cult hit. He was on recently played on as Owen Kronsky on ABC sitcom Less Than Perfect, which ran 4 seasons from 2004 to 2006. And he's also... Oh, excuse me. He's done voiceovers. He's done stand-up comedians. He's very, very, very funny. Very funny. You just got to check him out. So, Brian, do you have any more tonight?
Yes, I have. I have one more.
All right.
And this is he's passed away. Passed away February 2010 this year. 90 years old. Mm-hmm. Was born December 23rd, 1919. Okay, I'm going to give you a hint. This man has stamps, NASA patches. That means he actually created the patches for NASA's space program.
Wow.
He's done work for Tora and Disney's The Black Hole. Mm-hmm. And he was also credited for the art of the 21st century space-themed United States postage stamps.
Mm.
What's his fame to Star Trek? Well, he was known as space exploration artwork. He's one of the production illustrators for Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Great, all right.
And his best work, some of the best work that he did was 2001 A Space Odyssey, where he also did artwork for that too as well.
Huh.
And he's also had his work recognized, featured in Life magazine.
Okay.
So, yeah, this man is a very, very, very noted artist.
Okay.
If you notice, we're picking on the small guys today because, let's face it, if we don't pick on you and let everyone know the great work that you all do, we wouldn't have Star Trek. Let's get real here.
Yeah, I guess. You're right. All right, well, let's go on to our final topic because we're starting to run a little bit tad late. And after what Tech Podcast Network sent me on PayPal, I don't want to ever lose their segment.
And now it's time for the Tech Podcast Network segment of The Tech of Trek, where we take a look at a piece of futuristic Trek technology that we either use today or are being worked on.
All right, and last week we had talked about the automatic doors that Star Trek use. And they were so futuristic, and now you can't walk into any, just about any building without having the doors automatically go whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Well, I, believe it or not, I received an email from Byer Brown, who I'm about ready to call him my research and development. He sent me a couple links, and one is about the Star Trek-inspired pocket doors. And I'm going to let you listen to a YouTube video of this guy explaining what he did. And it's only 41 seconds. Take a listen. It's kind of funny.
Well, this is a video showing the Star Trek door that I built in my house. Here is the switch that opens the door, and there's also a key to hold it open, hold it closed. Up top is the air vent, where the air comes out after the door closes. And then over here, I built in a control panel where I can disable the door and shut off the air supply. So let's see it in action. This is what you press to open the door. So the door opens, and then after a few seconds, gives you time to walk through, and then it closes. And that's it.
Yeah. I will have a link to it on the main page, so yeah. The other one was called, he sent me a link to, called Dead Man's Switch.
You don't know what Dead Man's Switch is?
I've never heard of a Dead Man's Switch.
Well, Pop, I know what Dead Man's Switch is.
Go ahead.
Okay. No, go ahead. No, I want you to learn today.
Oh, well, what it says is we use our computers for almost every aspect of our lives. They shouldn't they help smooth our passing as well? Dead Man's Switch can protect or pass on your data and inform key persons of your untimely demise. You can set Deadman Switch to perform a number of tasks if you don't log on to your computer for a specific period of time. It can send out email, encrypt, or delete files in post to websites. Remember to reset the time allowed on the Switch before you go on vacation because you don't want to scare anybody. This is bizarre. If I haven't logged into my computer for a week, it will send out a message telling everybody, "Hi, Lou here. I'm sorry, but I have died." Yikes! Could you imagine the Social Security Administration closing out my file based on that?
Yep, I can see them doing it. But that's not what I thought a dead man switch was.
What'd you think?
Okay, like on the cannons on ships, we have a dead man switch. So if the person dies, it shuts everything off.
Yes, but what if an overload on that console is what killed the person in the beginning?
Well, that's
everything
just
shut off.
Bad.
I guess everything
shut off. Somebody, basically, you gotta have somebody there to trip the dead man switch.
Hmm. Yeah, even if it's them that did it. Okay, everybody, that's going to bring us to the end of this week's show. And don't forget, I will be gone for the next 2 weeks. Reverend Timothy Walker will take in next week, and he's going to be all by himself. We could have had Brian come on, but I actually wanted to see what he could do. Because you never know. What if I got hurt? What if I got sick and somebody needed to take over? I need, you know, maybe we can have somebody who would want to do it. It's not that he'd be committed, but he would want to. And he does. He thinks it's a great idea. So expect
he's our backup.
Yeah, he is. He's our guest. He's been our guest numerous times, and I love having him. He is the founder of Thin Air Magic. He's a professional magician and a reverend in the process. I mean,
he's good at what he does. Trust me. I was his security for the his magic show. Mm-hmm. Best you've ever seen in a while. I'm surprised he's not in Vegas.
Yeah, he should be. And he will talk to you about it. He will tell you all about what he does and his religion, and he's going to come on and talk to you about... This is a type of person who was here originally when The Cage was filmed. And he can talk to you all about the days of Star Trek first run, not in syndication. So he's going to be... I can't wait to at least hear him. And hear what he does. So, all right, give me the order, Captain.
Yes, engage.
Everybody, thank you very much for downloading and listening to the show. I'm gonna miss you. I hope you'll miss me too. Send me love letters. Keep me going for the 2 weeks that we will be gone. In the meantime, my puppy and I have got some snooky face to do. It's called snout kisses. Take care. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
And I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Kaplah!